we doing here? Are we on? Check, check, test, test. Oh, there we go. Cool. Well, thank you. I'm super excited to be with you this morning. Greetings from the mothership, the Duluth Vineyard. Like they said, Andrea said, I've been in the Duluth Vineyard for about 7 years or so, and I've been in the Vineyard movement for over 20 years. And Chris asked me if I would step in this weekend, as he and Nikki had some important business to attend to down south. And it's so fun to see so many old friends here, but it's actually even cooler to see so many faces that I don't know. And it's just awesome to see what God is doing in your community. It's awesome to see all these exciting things you have going on. I'm also excited because this weekend I get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, Chris Sauter. No, just kidding. But how blessed are you guys to have Chris and Nikki as your pastors? I mean, we miss them up in Duluth, but they're doing such a great job here. Oh, by the way, like they said, if you haven't realized this yet, Chris isn't speaking this weekend. So if this is disturbing for you, I'm sure some of the welcome people can help you find the exits, you know, that kind of thing. You might want to find the exits off and on while I'm talking. We'll find out. I remember a few years back, actually, the first time I heard Chris speak, I went up to Michael Gatlin, the senior pastor, afterwards, and I said, this guy is really good. Where did you find him? And he said, he's from Carleton. And I said, Carleton? What good can come out of Carleton? Michael said, I know, right? So why are we here? Why are we here in Cloquet? Why are we here in the Duluth Vineyard? That's basically what I'm going to talk about this weekend. And along with the questions of, you know, what is the future of mankind? What's wrong with the world? How do I know I won't be left behind? Why are we here is a big question. So we're going to narrow it down a little bit. Why are we here at the Cloquet Vineyard? In preparation for this, I went out and I asked some experts of why we are here. And these are some of the answers that I got. Siri said, try to be nice to people. Avoid eating fat. Read a good book every now and then. Get some walking in. And try to live in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. Siri also told me 42, which was confusing to me. Might make sense to some of you Douglas Adams fans. And she also, then she told me, this is kind of I'm not sure if I can trust her or not because she's giving me all these different answers. All evidence to date suggests that it's chocolate. I asked Google. And I got 374,604,002 answers. I didn't have time to go through all of them in preparation for the sermon, but if you're interested in that, Cortana told me, we all shine on, my friend. Looked at Wikipedia, I got confused, and then I ended up watching an ice fishing video about in Siberia on YouTube. It was fascinating. Looked a little like Island Lake, but it didn't get me very far. And finally, there was Homer Simpson's reply, bacon. So my cyber quest for answers on why are we here came up a little short, and it's a good thing we have other resources to look at. I'm not sure how much you folks know about the Vineyard, but hopefully after this morning you're going to know a little bit more, because we're going to explore this question specifically about why we hear the Cloquet Vineyard. What is the Vineyard about? And the Vineyard movement answers this question of why are we here with this, the kingdom of God. Because one of the main distinctions of the Vineyard is that we think of ourselves as a kingdom of God-based movement. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit today. And I want to first say something about distinctives in the Vineyard. You're going to hear me talk, or you hear Chris, other people talk about the Vineyard and distinctives, and sometimes we're not quite sure what people mean by that. Because sometimes if you hear, well, distinctives, does that mean that distinctives is the same as, like, better than? Or different, or that you guys think you're all that, or the distinctives, that mean that so other churches, they've got it wrong, or their practices, or the way they do things are deficient or misguided or sad, like being a Packers fan, for example. So I want to speak to that right up front, right? When we say distinctives, analogy that was used by John Wimber, who was a founder of the Vineyard Movement some back, I really like. He talked about the Church of God being a stew. And the vineyard, we are just one vegetable in that stew. Because of that, we can contribute our own taste, our own texture, our own flavor to the stew. But we're just one vegetable in the stew, right? And apparently, God likes really tasty variety stew because there are churches of all kinds of flavors and all kinds of smells and textures and all those kind of things. And so it's not that we're saying distinctives. We said, well, you know, we're carrots and everybody should be like a carrot in the stew. Well, that's not a stew. That's a bowl of carrots, right? So I hope you don't read it like that. We're just saying these are the things that make us us. These are the things that make us have the particular taste and what we contribute to God's stew. Does that make sense? All right. And you might also not know this, that as Vineyard people, you're part of this global family. Last summer, my wife and I were able to go to a Vineyard conference in Columbus, Ohio. We joined over 4,000 people from over 60 different countries. And we did worship in English, Spanish, Zulu, Nepali, and a number of languages that I can't even remember. There are leaders from all these different countries. There's currently over 2,500 Vineyard churches in 95 countries in the world. Hundreds and thousands of people are being influenced by the Vineyard movement. It's a big, crazy, loud, bizarre at times, diverse family that you join. So the question of why are we here as a Vineyard in Cloquet, if the answer to that is the kingdom of God, we're going to talk about what we mean by that. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, come. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. We thank you for this wonderful beginning of this church here in Cloquet. Spirit, we ask that you would just pour out yourself on us even more in power today, and that we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your blessings. Bring your kingdom. We ask that you would get what you want in this community. Let this be a place, let this be a time when your will is done. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible or your Bible Gateway app, some of you younger folks might be astounded to find out that the Bible is now available in print version. So if you're in need of one of those, there's a few Bibles in the hallway. And the first text we're going to look at is this, Mark 1, 14 to 15. I apologize in advance because I'm going to kind of scan through a few different texts, you know, so you might have to do a little bit of searching, but I think we'll be all right. Text says this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So, first of all, we have to understand, what is the kingdom of God? What is he talking about? Because it's kind of odd, because the idea of a kingdom or a king is sort of a strange concept for us today. We have to sort of go back into, you know, like high school history or maybe books or stories or we've read. But it's actually, we kind of get this idea, king, a kingdom. King is a place where the king gets his will done, right? Whatever the king says, go. So in this idea, it's like, if Jesus had his way in Cloquet, what would it look like? If Jesus got his way every single time in Carlton County or in Pine County, what would that look like? When I was 12, I got to be king for a summer. My dad was a plumber and he worked commercial construction, and it seemed like when I was young, he was laid off or on strike almost as much as he was working. But when year of my sixth grade, he got a job working up on the Iron Range building one of the taconite plants near Eveleth. And he rented a small cabin on a lake outside of Melrude. And that summer, I spent basically the whole summer living with my dad. During the day, I'd play at the resort campground with the other kids. He'd come home from work, and we'd go out fishing on the lake. And I still don't know why exactly, but somehow I became popular at the campground. And it was this really bizarre event that I haven't experienced before, but it was like, oh, because kids would come with their families vacation for a week or stuff, and I was there because I knew where everything was. Somehow I got to decide, became the leader of this, the mix of band of kids. So I got to decide, like, today we're going to go swimming. And then later on, we're going to ride our bikes around the campground and terrorize the other campers, right? Or maybe we're going to go down to the dock fishing, or no, today we're going to go baseball. And this was always something that mystified me, and I wasn't exactly sure. But I also got to decide, like, who was in and who was out. Remember that, right? Remember those mysterious rules in, like, grade school or junior high when one day you're like you're like best friends with the popular kid or the popular girl or boy, and life is just grand. And then the next day, it's like, what happened? Suddenly, everyone's shunning me, and I'm on the out. I got to be that kid for like 6 weeks. It was like fantastic. Sadly, my kinship, my reign ended when I came back to reality, back to my grade school, and then or back to junior high, and I just became another schlep again. But it was amazing. Summer. Whatever Doug said in this group of kids went. It was so great. Didn't know at the time was kind of the highlight of my, you know, school career, but oh well. So some of you have, so this idea of what God, what does it mean when God is king, when God gets his way? I'm sure you've heard the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you've been around church at all, you've heard this, or maybe you've seen the plaque, you know, on the wall at grandmother's house. The Lord's Prayer is probably the best known prayer around, excuse me, other than the, you know, Jesus take the wheel prayer, right? And most of us are familiar with that whole later on, they give us this day our daily bread, don't lead us in temptation, forgive us our debts, all those bits. We often kind of speed through the first part of it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Vineyard, we call that the kingdom prayer. We call it the kingdom prayer because it basically shows us what Jesus' priorities were. What was most important to him? And apparently what was most important to him was that his Father's will, which is perfectly executed in the realm of heaven, become perfectly executed on earth. So that's why in the Vineyard we talk about the kingdom of God being already, that is, it began in the ministry of Jesus, but it's not yet complete. And I'm sure most of us, you watch the news, right? You scan the internet, you see the way things are going on in the world. Most of us would agree that God's will is not being done perfectly on earth right now. Things are not the same on earth as they are in heaven. Because in heaven, God gets his way every way, all the time. Not the case right now on earth. Which brings us to this whole idea of the mystery of the kingdom of God. I'm sure, how many of you guys remember seeing Save It Private Ryan, Tom Hanks' movie a few years ago, right? Movie opens with the invasion of Normandy, Allied invasion of Europe. Now, military experts and historians have said this. This was an analogy that a pastor used some years ago. That once that Allied invasion of Omaha and Utah and the other beaches was successful, basically that longest day, that first day, once that was successful, Hitler's doom was pretty much assured. Now, it took another 11 months for the war to continue before the final victory after D-Day. And in that 11 months, there's actually more casualties than there were the previous 4 years of the war combined. And that's where you and I are at now. Just like Hitler had invaded France and had to be beaten back, so also Satan and his evil forces have invaded God's good world to kill and destroy. The church, you, us, we are basically the counterattack, okay? We're basically taking back territory that's been unlawfully stolen. That's the growth and the expansion of the kingdom of God. We know that because of Jesus' death, his resurrection, his ascension, we know that our victory is assured. We win, correct? However, in the meantime, there's some very real losses and hurts and things that go wrong in this world, and sometimes, most of the time, we don't understand why. So until that day, when God gets his way perfectly here on earth, just as he does in heaven, we have a real enemy to fight, and there's going to be casualties. And that's in the vineyard what we call the already and not yet. If you've heard Chris talk about that, the already of the kingdom is already here in some sense, but there's the full consummation of it is yet to be determined. Because it means there's a gap between these places where God gets his way. We live in this very real and very difficult tension, of being caught between these times. Even in that, we've been given this whole grand big mission. Our job is to bring, expand, cooperate with God, to bring that kingdom, to join him in his mission of rebuilding this world, restoring creation, bringing lost people to know him. Why? Not so Doug gets a lot of cool plaques, not so Doug picks up some badges, not so we have, more money or fame, but so that God's fame, his glory expands. His reign expands from heaven to earth. So we see in that's a first, that's a message of the kingdom when Jesus starts talking about it, right? But because we see that he not only talks about the kingdom, he actually brings the kingdom in some way. So later in the first chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. In the vineyard, we talk about this in simple terms. We talk about giving, or preaching, giving the words of the kingdom, and doing the works of the kingdom. Word and works together. In Matthew 12:28, Jesus tells some religious dudes that if he is casting out demons by the hand of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon them. So the kingdom has come in some way. But we also find out this, throughout human history, in our lives, in our families, especially in our extended families, in my case, people can ignore, people can resist, even work against the coming of God's kingdom. At some point in the future, that kingdom will be triumphant, irresistible. It will be fully here. But in our time, we live in this mystery that is somehow sometimes just so difficult to figure out why these crazy things happen, why kids get sick, why kids get sick with leukemia, why families fall apart, why this tension, right? Someday it will be here fully on earth, but it's not yet. We know this because the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God grows and expands its influence in the world. Remember those 2,500 vineyards in 95 countries? 30 years ago, there wasn't even 50 vineyards anywhere. So despite what you might think about reading the news or the newspaper things, worldwide, the Church of Jesus is growing tremendously. Currently, there are more than 2.3 billion Christians worldwide. That number is expected to climb to more than 2.6 billion by 2025 and cross 3.3 billion by 2050. Christianity is growing in comparison to the overall population. More than one-third of the 7.3 billion people on earth are Christians. By 2050, when the world population is expected to top 9.5 billion people, More than 40% of those people will be Christians. Today, most Christians live in Europe. More Christians live in Europe than in Africa. But in a few years, more than 1.2 billion Christians will be living in Africa. More than the number in Europe and North America combined. And at that time, one of every eight people in the world will be an African Christian. And in the last several years, Christianity has been exploding among Muslim people. Refugees and people from places like Syria, Iraq, and Egypt are coming to Jesus in staggering numbers. Guess what? Jesus told us it was going to happen. In Mark 4, verse 30 to 32, he told this parable. A parable is just basically like a simple story analogy to explain a point. He told this one about the mustard seed. He said, again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, and what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. He told his disciples and us these parables so that we would understand that the coming of God was not going to be this big crash, kind of immediate, kind of apocalyptic thing. It was going to be slow, gradual. It wasn't going to be like a conquering army coming in immediately overnight and just devastating a city, devastating an area. It was going to be like a growth of a tree, small and insignificant at first. It seems like nothing is really happening. I've got some white pine seedlings in my yard that have been the same size for years, right? My family has hunting land down on the Kettle River by Sturgeon Lake, and decades ago, we planted a bunch of white pine seedlings that we got from the DNR, and the ones that didn't get munched by the deer and the rabbits or whatever, right? They were like this big, and it seemed like they've been there forever, and now they're these gigantic white pines, and they're not even like mature yet. The kingdom is like that, gradual, delayed, developing over time, but its growth and its expanse, that's certain. From a small, insignificant beginning with a 12 like completely confused, disoriented, weak little disciples, right? Guys who just most of the time had no idea what Jesus was talking about. This kingdom has grown and will grow to fill the earth, and it will be ultimately triumphant. One more thing. The kingdom also conquers. Like we said, just like the Allied invasion of Europe, because of Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus told his disciple Peter this in Matthew 6:18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's funny, you know, I grew up in church, and reading this text, I got a very different idea about it. I don't know exactly if this is like how it was taught, or how it was... They didn't actually say it this way. It's more like a feeling, right? It's more a sense that I got of it. Because we had no idea about this whole words and works bit. It was like, we're this like pitiful little band of Christians, okay? And the big bad world was tearing us apart, knocking us down. Remember that game you used to play in grade school when, you know, all the kids would get in a circle and lock arms like that? And then like one kid, the volley would be like the puller. Is there a name for that game? Does anybody do it anyway? And he'd come and try to rip someone out of that circle. Then when he did, the two of them would try to pull everyone till finally it was just like the two strongest kids in the class, you know, clenched together, holding hands, trying to keep from being pulled apart. That was basically the picture of the church that I had growing up. That this big bad world, this gates of hell, there would just be a few of us clinging together. And these massive gates of hell were marching, okay, and about to crush us. Like, you know, dun 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 dun, you know? They're marching to crush us, but the few weak, tiny little ones of us are left just before these massive gates are going to fall and crush us. Somehow Jesus would miraculously come and save us, just a few of us that are left. Nice picture, huh? No wonder so few of my friends in high school stuck around in church. They were terrified of the marching gates. But let's step back a second. Have you ever seen a gate march? Right? Gates are fixed. They stay in one place. It's other things. Rabbits, deer, skunks, right? That march against the gates in our gardens. And they crush the gates. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that his church, you, us, we are going to come against the plans of the enemy, and we are going to storm the gates of hell. We, the kingdom of God, demolishes those gates, right? We come alongside God to bring his will to our homes, to our neighborhoods, everywhere we can. Now, the church isn't the same as the kingdom of God. We are the subjects. We are the people of the kingdom. It's like the government and the military, right? The army is not the same as the government of the country. It's an expression. It's a representation of the government. But it comes with the authority, with the support and backing of the government. But in the United States, the country, you can't reduce it to just the military. In the same way, the church, us, we come with the authority. We come with the power of the kingdom of God, which is all-encompassing, cosmic, total. We are like the on-the-ground forces of the kingdom, but the kingdom is much bigger than us. Storming the gates of hell. How do we do this? I'm not sure about you, but you stop and think about that. It sounds a little scary, right? Storming even, say, you know, Walmart on Black Friday sounds a little intimidating. The gates of hell? In Luke 9, verse 1 to 2, Jesus said this to his disciples. He called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Bit down in verse 6, he says, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Word and works. This is Jesus giving his disciples basically their first mission. He had just done a whole bunch of miracles himself in Luke 8. And now he turns to them and says, okay, you go do it. And they said, what? You gotta be kidding me. He said, no, it's cool. I'm giving you what? I'm giving you my power and I'm giving you authority to do the same things that I've been doing. Go out, preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Word and works. When we do that, that's how we break down the gates of hell in Carrollton County. When we snowblow our neighbor's driveway, and you know the neighbor, right? The one with the dog who always comes over to your yard too, right? When we be kind to that neighbor, that's bringing the kingdom. When we ask a coworker, hey, how's it going? How you doing? In that tone that is more than just, I don't really want to know what you're saying. That's just, I don't know what else to say, so I'm saying, hey, how's it going? But we have to say, how you doing? What's going on? And they respond and say, well, actually, and they start telling us about something. We need to give them the time to respond. That's bringing the kingdom of God. When that family member or friend complains about that bum knee or that shoulder pain, right, or a headache, and we pray for their healing, we're doing the works of the kingdom of God. We bring that kingdom into reality when we let God's will be done in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our neighborhoods. Why? So that God gets his way. So that his will gets done here on earth. Giving the words and doing the works. It's the vineyard heritage of word and works that's been given to us. You in the Cloquet Vineyard, you're entering a story, right? The story began, this particular story of the church began with a bunch of beach bums and hippies on the beaches of Southern California, surfers who were looking for a different way of doing church and discovered this word and works thing and started telling their friends about it. They would do baptisms in Ventura Beach. And people would be coming by, surfers, and, hey, what are you doing? So we're doing baptizing. We're baptizing people. Why? Because, well, they want to know Jesus, and they discover Jesus. And like, oh, hey, that sounds cool. Can I get baptized too? So they have people, and they flooding into their churches. That story began there. It's continuing here. You guys are entering into a story of the vineyard, a story of the kingdom of God. But you're also writing a story. You're also writing the story from now on about how the kingdom of God came in a unique way to Carlton County, to Pine County. And what that story is going to look like, I don't know, right? Who does? Other than the fact that we know ultimately God is going to triumph over everything, including Carlton County. So why not here? Why not now? You will build the kingdom here. You will storm the gates of hell here. You will see God move in a powerful way in this community. You will see people healed of physical things. You will see people healed of mental illnesses. You will see people healed of all kinds of things, emotionally. You'll see marriages healed. How can I say that? Because I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again when we do this word and works thing, right? If we had enough time, I could give you stories of healings of things around the world. A friend of mine, Craig, goes to a vineyard in Kentucky, has been around the world teaching, and he's got like this photo thing of Craig with previously dead guys, okay? People in places in Asia and Africa that had been that had died were prayed over in churches and came back to life. Now Craig has this photo album of selfies up with guys who were just dead. If we had enough time, we could go into all kinds of stories about healing, about how vineyard churches have changed, transformed their communities in all kinds of ways. But I'd be more interested to hear how you guys are going to write that story here. What your story is going to look like as you go forward. Because that's what God does. He builds his kingdom, and he's inviting us to join him and do it. Why don't you all stand up? If you're in the ministry team, you can start making your way to the front too. And this is why in the vineyard, this word and works thing, why we do this ministry teams. When I first saw this happening, when I first walked into Vineyard Church some years ago, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. People are going to the front to get prayer? No way am I ever doing that. Well, I got to that when I came to the end of my pride, when I came to the end of my self-sufficiency, and I was broken enough, I found myself up the front getting prayer, and my life has never been the same. These people are just here to lead you to Jesus. That's all they want. They just want to show you how you can experience more life in Jesus. So if you've never done this, if you've never come up and gotten prayer for anything, right? Physical healing, emotional healing, a raise at work, whatever it might be, I'd invite you to come and meet with these people up front. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for just pouring out your spirit in Carlton County. And Lord, I ask that you would just pour out your favor and your blessing on this church, on this group, that you would bring your kingdom in a more powerful way than we've ever seen here today. And I ask, Lord, that you would, this week, just pour out your spirit on all of us as we go out into our families and our work and our lives. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in this community. Amen. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard this morning. You heard the announcements about things. Take care. Have a great week.